Amen. Good evening, church. Great to see everyone out this evening. Let's go ahead and take our hymn books, and we will turn to 326. 326, let's stand together, and we'll sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
On the last,
his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord at this time and ask for a blessing on this service. Father, we thank you so much again for this opportunity to gather together with your people. And Lord, as we come together around your word, Lord, we ask that you would just illuminate, Lord, that we would understand clearly your message for us tonight. We pray that you would be with our pastor, Lord, your messenger, that he would speak the words clearly, Lord, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to be able to say it's been good to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you so much for the provision of this place together, for those who are gathered around us, Lord, that they might be able to encourage us, to strengthen us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be, as was spoken about this morning, just to have love one for another. And Lord, just to demonstrate the love that you've shown to us, to others. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn over to 649. 649, we'll sing Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. 649.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. Child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, child and forever I am.
On the last,
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Just the page over there, our last hymn is going to be 648, Now I Belong to Jesus, 648.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
On the last,
joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Good singing. You may be seated.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to have you all back tonight for our Sunday evening service. Thankful for faithful folks that believe all day Sunday is the Lord's day, and that we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are thankful to have some visitors amongst us tonight. First, I want to recognize Sister Betty, who's here tonight. Sister, so thankful to have you. Been praying for your health and happy to have you back with us worshiping together. Amen. Good to see Sister Betty. We also have some first-time visitors with us. Could you please stand and give us your name and how you heard about our church? Amen. Welcome, and have her granddaughter with us tonight as well. Praise the Lord. And I think it's Sandra visiting with us as well tonight. Good evening. Amen. Welcome back. Thankful to have you here tonight. And it's amazing. God brought in some visitors on a Sunday night that said, you know, I've been seeing this church. I thought I ought to come in and worship. And thankful to have you folks here with us tonight. Hope you get a chance to greet them. All right, a couple of things we're going to just mention by way of announcements, and then want to have our preaching time as well this evening. Please be in prayer. We mentioned Teen Blast. That's this Friday at 7:30. See Brother Josh, teenagers, that's 7th through 12th graders. See Brother Josh about that. This Friday's Teen Blast, discipleship class, prayer meetings. The big announcement we mentioned was the prophecy conference we're having with Pastor Barker next month. It'll be September 12th through the 15th. Pastor and Mrs. Barker will actually be in town coming in September the 8th, staying for a couple of weeks. So it'll be a nice time to have them and fellowship with them while they're here visiting. And we're so thankful for their faithfulness in ministry. They're our founding pastor and pastor's wife. And so we are encouraged to have them back visiting with us and him preaching for us once again. So please be praying for that. And then also we have listed here, save the date, Pastor and Mrs. Lubin's baby shower given by BBC will be on September 25th. So ladies can make note of that. We also want to just celebrate some of the birthdays that we have this month. I don't see her here tonight, but on Friday night after our VBS awards night, we had a special time celebrating Mrs. D's birthday. She's 75 years young, and we're so thankful for her testimony. Then I was also told there's a few other people's birthdays. Sister Jackie over there, who doesn't like when she's called out like that. Anyone else have a birthday this August? I know Comfort. Any other August birthdays? Brother Seymour, Tanasha. Any other August birthdays? Sister Adriana, Sister Vivian, Brother Rob. All right, so we got quite a few special August birthdays here. So let's sing Happy Birthday, God Bless You, to all these August birthday babies here. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen, and many more. All right, praise the Lord. All right, happy birthday to everybody. All right, let's have our ushers come at this time, and we'll prepare for tonight's offering. Let's prepare for tonight's offering. And I want to remind the church, after the conclusion of our meeting, we'll also collect a love offering for Brother Fernando. It's his last night here in New York City, and we so appreciated having him amongst us. And so after the service, we'll collect a special love offering for him to assist him with his college as he finishes up his last year at Crown College. But first, let's collect our general offering here this evening. I'm going to ask Brother Emerson, would you please lead us in prayer tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And tonight I want us to conclude our series, Building Your Own Biblical Standards. And we've been going through the series this summer, and Of course, we had some exciting interruptions with VBS and other events, but I want to kind of just give some concluding thoughts with this important topic. I hope it's been practical and a help for you. We've covered a lot of ground, and we wanted to present it in a way that would be practical, that we can actually put it into use in our daily life. And sometimes the danger in going over a practical series like this, where we do talk a lot about do's and don'ts, we are often tempted to kind of take the shortcut and skip right to the do's and don'ts, and we don't often think about the spirit behind why we do what we do. And so we've tried to outline all of this and explain that, and I'll do that in my concluding thoughts as well tonight. But first, let's read a scripture. We'll pray and we'll conclude our topic this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." It is possible to walk in a certain way, live our lives a certain way that we please God, and may that be our goal. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to come and worship you and study your word tonight. Lord, as we look at the scriptures, as we glean principles, we pray that first and foremost your spirit would enter in and lead us into all truth. Lord, that you would allow your word to sink in and take root and make application. Lord, bring clear conviction about maybe things that we need to start doing that we haven't been, or things that we need to stop doing that we have been. And may we, Lord, be willing to just surrender it all to you. Lord, help us to live for the high calling of honoring you, glorifying you, pleasing you. May we have that in view tonight. And Father, we pray that for those that are in need of saving grace, that need to accept Christ as Savior, that you would show them, Lord, it's not by works of righteousness, Lord, it's simply by grace through faith. May you make that clear as well. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. And so as we've done this study, building your own biblical standards, some people call this Christian ethics or whatever you want to call it, standards, principles, convictions. But these, what we're doing is we're taking the entire Bible, the entirety of the scriptures, and we're gleaning the principles that God gives us to then apply that and graft that, what we said, engrafting the word in our hearts. We're engrafting that into our hearts and lives, and we're asking the question, what attitudes should I embrace if I'm going to please God? What actions should I have if I'm going to please God? What personal character traits ought I to have if I'm going to receive God's good pleasure, God's delight? If you go with me to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So we're trying to find the will of God in all that we do. Verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so with that in mind, I want to reemphasize our goal, our purpose in this study. And that goal is simply God's delight. It's God's pleasure. I've used this illustration before. You know, my daughter, Nikki, 3 years old, you know, she just a little kid does, she will do anything it takes to put a smile on our face. She'll be as silly as can be. She'll do whatever will kind of make us laugh and make us smile. And I asked the question, do you think she's doing that because she's afraid we'll stop loving her if she doesn't do those things? Absolutely not. It's just a simple fact that it's in her heart to bring us delight. Some older parents are saying, for now, wait till they become teenagers. But that's just a simple way God made them, right? That they just want to bring us delight. And that ought to be our heart as Christians, that we don't do what we do for God because we're trying to earn his love or he might take his love away. That's impossible. We talked about that already this morning. But we do what we do because we want to simply bring him delight. And by the way, his delight is our delight. It works both ways, and we know that, wow, I've done the will of God. Isn't that satisfying? We can lay our head down on our pillows at night with peace,
without a guilty conscience, without shame or guilt. It's not pride. It's simply resting in the fact that we are walking worthy, as we just read, that we're pleasing Him with our lives. And that ought to be our goal as Christians. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't always do that. I don't always get there, but by God's grace, I'm striving to walk worthy and to please Him in every good work, to be fruitful in every good work. And so this study is going to be unfruitful if you have the wrong attitude. The right attitude is everything in this study. The right attitude is a heart that wants to bring God delight. We emphasize that rules alone are not what we're after, because the Amish have rules. Muslims have rules. Everybody has rules that they try to follow. But what are rules by themselves? They're nothing, right? What we're talking about is a genuine relationship with the Lord. And we're trying to protect the vitality and the intimacy of that relationship with the Lord. So we don't want anything to hinder that. We want nothing between us and the Savior. We want to be walking in His will. And so rules are not what make a relationship, but rules do help in maintaining relationship. Listen, all of us in our relationships, we have rules, things that we will do or won't do to honor those relationships, right? With my wife, there's things I won't do because I want to honor my relationship with her. And such it is with God. And so being spiritual, some people think it's just keeping the list of rules. That's what makes you spiritual. Well, I didn't cuss this week, so I'm a spiritual person. I didn't go out with all the vices and drinking and dancing, so I'm a spiritual person. I prayed every day, so I'm a spiritual person. You know, a lot of people are moral. They don't do certain things. They do certain things. Doesn't mean you're spiritual. Spirituality, we try to emphasize, is being rightly related to the Holy Spirit. Spirituality is following and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, He will lead you to do certain things and not do certain things. But it starts with following the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just having a list of rules. It's following the author behind those rules, the Holy Spirit Himself, right? And so we follow the Spirit of God who leads us, who guides us. And by the way, do you think it's possible that there are people that maybe haven't been saved as long as you have, perhaps, or been taught what you've been taught, and they don't have the same rules you have? Because they're on their journey following the Spirit, hey, they'll get there. And so we got to be patient with each other and with ourselves too. But true Christian spirituality is based on that surrender, that yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we talked about the fact that when we got saved, we were automatically indwelt with the Holy Spirit, right? He comes to live in us. Praise the Lord for that, because we could never live the Christian life on our own. You see, we could never measure up and obey the Lord on our own, but the Holy Spirit enables us. Holy Spirit fills us. That's a commandment to be continually filled. In Ephesians 5:18, and so we can be indwelt, but to be filled with the Spirit, that's something that we have to continually seek after. And to make spirituality only about doing the right things misses the point. And so it's letting the Holy Spirit control us rather than letting our carnal desires control us. That's what it means to be spiritual. And so spiritual people will have rules, but just having rules doesn't make you spiritual. And so the goal, whatever we focus on will be our goal. The goal is not, all right, I can't do this, I can't do that. We're wound up tight and we're focusing on not sinning, and then what happens? We do sin. The goal is Christ. The goal is Jesus. And our goal is to be like Him, to walk as He walked. And we're focusing on Him and Him alone. That's our goal. And we mentioned the illustration of maybe a fence around the garden. And in the garden is our relationship with Christ, our walk with Christ. And yes, it's good to have a fence to protect that, but it's not just about the fence, how high the fence is, how nice the fence is. What good is a fence if the garden is withering and rotting and dying, right? And so let's make sure we have a real walk with Jesus Christ. And so number one tonight, by way of review, number one, should you, because this is about you, it's not about doing what I say, it's about you walking with the Spirit, should you have standards? And I hope that you can say yes after we've gone through this series. Because all of us have to draw lines in our lives. All of us. I mean, just to get here tonight, if you drove your car, you had to obey some standards. The speed limit, right? The speed limit on Mart Road is 30 miles per hour. Not 31, not 32, not 33, but 30 miles per hour. Someone drew a line in the sand and said, that's the speed limit, and we got to follow that. And so as Christians, we must have standards, lines that we draw that we won't cross because we want to honor God. You have standards at your place of work, I'm sure. We certainly have standards for our church, and I hope you develop strong standards for your home and for your individual walk with God. There's some young people here tonight. Maybe stage in your life, you're simply following the standards your parents have set, but there's going to come a point in time when you have to develop your own standards and convictions, and you have to be able to walk with the Spirit on your own and do that. And so our standards are based on God and His Word. Everything begins with God. We start with the premise that God is a good God who's totally moral in His character. He's supremely good. And so His moral standards for us flow out of His goodness, flow out of His character. And so we should live in a way that honors Him, that is an example of His goodness. We talked about the logical line we ought to be able to follow, that we start with the Word of God. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with, well, the preacher said. It doesn't start with, well, Mom and Dad said. You know, that might work for a little while, but that's not going to work for you. We start with the Word of God, and standards are based on the Scripture. We start with the Scripture, and from then we glean a principle. A principle could be something that God explicitly said. For example, thou shalt not bear false witness, right? Don't lie. That's a clear expression of God's will. And there are some things maybe we can infer from the Scriptures. I believe it's wrong to smoke marijuana and do drugs. God didn't have to say, thou shalt not do heroin, thou shalt not do crack cocaine. He didn't have to say that, because I can glean principles from His Word that let me know that, hey, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I don't want to identify with the wicked, sinful culture around me. So there's things that God says explicitly. There's things that we can infer as we read the Scriptures and that we apply to our lives as a principle. Then we develop a conviction. We're convinced, true. Convinced we need to follow and obey this. And from that, we develop a standard. Here's the line in the sand that I'll draw so that I honor the conviction and the principles that start from the Word of God. And so one of the purposes of the Bible is that it really is a manual, a handbook on how to live our lives. Isn't it incredible? God left us a roadmap, a GPS, His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word to lead us, to guide us in our daily lives. We read the Scriptures in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, that it's possible to please God, to walk in a way that honors Him and glorifies Him. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. First Corinthians 10, 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There's an important principle right there. Everything that we do, as mundane, as, dare we say, trivial, as eating and drinking, and believe me, I like to do all of that, amen? We need to do that to the glory of God. Some people have this kind of compartmentalization of their Christianity. That I'm to live a certain way, act a certain way on Sunday morning between the hours of 12 a.m. midnight and 12 a.m. midnight Sunday to 12 a.m. midnight Monday. I'm supposed to live a certain way. Then after that, it's all up to me. I can just do whatever I want. The Bible says it's the exact opposite. That really for the Christian, that every day is sacred and everything we do ought to be sacred. Everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. Man, as I learn that principle, man, that convicts me, because the Holy Spirit will convict my heart and ask me, does that bring glory to me? Maybe the entertainment choices we have, maybe the people that we want to go and spend time and associate with, and the friends that we keep, and the mentalities and attitudes that we embrace, whatever it is, we have to ask ourselves, does this bring glory to God? We have to ask ourselves that question. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Why should we have standards? Because we're concerned for the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, we're concerned with our testimony, our influence, because we want to glorify God and honor God. And so prove all things, test all things. You know, some Christians kind of, maybe just because they're ignorant or maybe they just don't want to know, they just blindly do everything the world says to do. They go everywhere the world says to go. They act just like everyone else around them, and they're not proving all things as the scripture says. And the reality is, as we develop standards in our lives, we realize that we have a certain identity now that we're in Christ. And God wants us to live lives of distinction. He calls us to come out from the wicked pagan world around us, to be separate, to not be unequally yoked or tethered together to this sinful world system that's all around us. That means we ought not dress how the world dresses. We ought not talk how the world talks. We ought not have the same attitudes the world has. God calls us to live an identity of distinction. You read through the Old Testament. That was certainly his purpose through Israel. This called out people that were to live in such a way that was totally different from the people around. I'm talking about circumcision. No one else was doing that. Having the Sabbath, all of these dietary restrictions. And God would often remind them, I want you to do this. That you're different from the nations around you. And now, obviously, in this dispensation, we're not under the Mosaic law. We don't have all of those necessarily standards for us, but the principle is the same. God wants us to be different, right? Didn't Peter tell us we're called to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood? That means we're different from the world around us. And it's not just intentionally being different. You just are different because you're saved. That's your identity as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so just live out who you've been made to be. We're different. And so having standards means that we're concerned about maintaining that identity and influence in all that we do, that we live lives of distinction. You know, I like to watch sports. You know, the sports teams, they'll wear different jerseys. And you know, that team, that's the New York Knicks right there. That blue and orange right there, yep. Or the Yankees, you know, we know what their famous uniform is, those pinstripes, world-famous pinstripes. Every now and then I'll watch a game, and there'll be two teams playing that are wearing almost like the same color. And then it's hard to tell them apart. It's like, wait a minute, which team is which? That's kind of how some Christians are. They want to kind of wear the jersey that I'm a Christian, but also kind of slip in the world jersey to kind of blend in just like the world. But we're called to be different and distinct. Our identity is rooted in Christ. That's who we've been made to be. Let's live that out. And so we are called to live lives not of isolation, but of separation. And when we're talking about being separate from the world, we're not talking about sun, moon, and stars. We're not talking about the things that obviously we need to do in daily life. We're talking about the world system. A world system that's totally opposed to God. Behind it is the God of this world. The world system wants to leave God out. Worldliness is leaving God out. See, there's things God says, I've given you all things rich to enjoy. There's things that can enjoy, that can refresh us and encourage us on our journey and following Christ. But, oh, there's those things that hinder our journey and following Christ. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment. Worldliness leads God out. It's all about the flesh, all about gratifying ourselves, and it's opposed to godliness. And so, yes, we have to have standards. Yes, we have to draw lines with the Holy Spirit's help. How should I dress? What should my entertainment choices be? What movies or TV shows should I watch? What video games should I be involved with? What attitudes should I embrace? My language? Yes, all of these are important questions. And we don't want to talk about them, but listen, if we're going to walk as Christ wants us to walk, we got to talk about it. And it's not about pleasing each other. It's about pleasing God. And so, yes, we ought to have standards for our lives. But then number two, should a church have standards? Should a church have standards? Again, absolutely, yes. Ministries need to have standards. We are serving and worshiping a holy God. And so our ministries as a church